long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Oh, there's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free. My shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere.
can be seated.
Thank you, Crystal. Greetings to you, church family. We missed you. Our family missed you last week, but we're thankful for the job well done by Pastor Steve in sharing God's word and helping us gain a better understanding of how to be the church. And so appreciated his time and effort and his study and for the truth that was taught. That last song that we worship you, Almighty God. As we've been studying the names of God throughout these past couple, 3 months, it's been exciting to me at least to be able to put definition to who God is. Today, as I step back into the pulpit, I want to continue on discovering who and what God is by studying the Old Testament names used for God. To date, we've looked at 3 primary names used for God, and they're listed there on the front of your bulletin. Elohim, which is translated God and means strongest of strong ones, the most faithful. And because God is the strongest of strong ones, he can be most faithful because there is no power that is able to undo the power of God. Therefore, Elohim can fulfill every promise that he has made, bring to pass every decree that he says he has laid out, and he can deliver on every covenant that he has established. We looked at Jehovah Yahweh, Lord God, self-existent, our eternal Holy One. In this study, we see that God doesn't need anything or anyone to keep alive. He is self-sustaining. He is eternal. And in his holiness, God loves sinners and seeks to rescue them from sin. We then looked at the primary name Adonai, Lord, which means master, ruler, or judge. And because God is both Elohim and Jehovah, he is the supreme ruler over all things, and he has the right and the power to judge all things in the universe. Then we moved our study to looking at 4 compound names or secondary names used for God associated with the primary name Elohim. El Shaddai, God is Almighty, the All-Sufficient One, the Sustainer. We saw how God was able to bring life to Abraham and Sarah's dead bodies and bring about the child of promise. We looked at El Elyon, the God Most High, who establishes kings and kingdoms. And we looked at 4 weeks of testimony from the book of Daniel. We looked at El Rio, the God who sees, and God sees us. We saw that in the story of Hagar. We looked at El Olam, the everlasting God, that God is everlasting and gracious and faithfulness. He doesn't grow weary. He doesn't grow tired. And he gives strength to those who need strength. And then after examining those 4 names associated with Elohim, we then looked at 2 of the 8 secondary names that are associated with the term Jehovah Yahweh, the first of which was Jehovah Jireh, the Lord provides. The Lord provides. He sees what our need is, and he provides just as he did for Abraham and Isaac when God asked Abraham to provide an offering. And then Jehovah Nissi, we saw up at camp, the Lord is my banner. The Lord's banner is over me. Well, today I want to enter into discussing the 3rd secondary name used in conjunction with Jehovah Yahweh, and that is the name Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rapha means the Lord who heals. In Exodus 15:26, where God says to his people Israel, if you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to the commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Now, 2 weeks ago at family camp, we touched on the story where we find the name Jehovah Rapha used. Again, let me contextually set up the story. Israel had been freed from slavery after God provided 10 supernatural plagues that convinced Pharaoh that he needed to let Israel go out from under his grasp. After Israel left Egypt, Pharaoh had second thoughts, and he wanted to bring Israel back under his control. So he sent his army out after Israel, and Israel had their backs up against the Red Sea and the wilderness. And God miraculously rescued Israel from Pharaoh's army by parting the Red Sea, and they went across on dry ground. And then God caused the sea to close upon the Egyptian army that was pursuing Israel. Israel then, after having that great experience with God and celebrating the goodness of God, they're now 3 days into the journey into the desert of Shur. The fresh water that God brought them to from Egypt was now used up. The Israelite children were thirsty. The elderly were getting dehydrated. So omniscient God brings Israel to a body of water at the oasis of Marah. When Israel went to drink of the water at the oasis of Marah, the nation was greatly disappointed. And that disappointment led to fear and dread and frustration, and it even led to outrage, because what looked like to them to be a suitable water to drink, a refreshing water to drink, they quickly discovered the waters of Marah were bitter waters, and they could not drink of that water. The story goes like this in Exodus 15, 22. Then Moses led Israel from the sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days into the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore it was named Marah. So the people grumbled at Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, and he threw it into the waters, and the waters became sweet. Now, the first thing that we need to notice in this story is that Israel was not at the oasis of Marah by accident. God is omniscient, and God led his nation to the oasis of Marah. Now, that seems strange to me in my human thinking. To imagine God in his omniscience leading his people to a place that he knew was full of bitter waters. Why would God lead a thirsty nation to an oasis filled with bitter waters? Some people may think that this is a cruel act by God to take a thirsty nation to an oasis that he knew what was full of water they could not drink. And if perhaps that was the end of the story, we could consider it to be a cruel act. However, just because our human minds may not initially understand what God was doing, God is not guilty of some kind of injustice act. For God had a plan. Remember, Isaiah 55, 6 through 10 talks about how God's ways are not our ways and how God's thoughts are not our thoughts. So God had a reason for the bitter waters. There was a purpose in what God was seeking to teach the nation of Israel. So let me point out some things. Sometimes we find in our life that we are standing on the edge of bitter waters in our life. Maybe we face some type of bitter situation. You know, we live in a fallen world. And in a fallen world, bitter waters are bound to happen. Our tendency may be to grumble and to gripe against God because we don't understand what God is doing or why. And that's exactly what was happening with the nation of Israel. They didn't understand what was happening and why. All they knew is that they were thirsty and the water was bitter and that God had brought them there. And maybe sometimes in our life, we find ourselves standing at the edge of the bitter waters, and all we can think about is how bitter the water tastes and how it doesn't meet our needs. And we become, our vision is cast upon the circumstances, and our eyes are taken off of the Lord. When we taste the bitter waters of life, we can feel a sense of hopelessness, and our hearts can sink in sadness and pain. Some of us may be feeling that way even today during this time of pandemic and political quagmire and civil unrest in our land. The situation we are in as individuals, our country right now, may seem bitter and hopeless to us. These bitter waters interfere with our good quality of life, and we may think there's no help in sight. And I gotta admit, I've done my share of complaining over these past few weeks, as I've been concerned about the direction of our nation and the impact that the virus has had on our nation, and for the impact that all the precautions that are being taken has had upon our local church and the distance it has put between us and some of our family members. So something I see in this story that challenged me is I cannot and we cannot let the bitter waters cause us to develop bitter attitudes towards the Lord. We can't let the circumstances cause us to become critical in our spirit. We can't let the bitter waters cause bitterness towards others. The bitter waters of life can cause us to develop a critical spirit. They can cause us to develop critical attitudes about the circumstances we are in. And they can cause us to become critical not only of the Lord, but even with those around us as we try to manage our circumstances. In the times of bitter waters in our life, we can often leave the fruit of the Spirit hanging on the tree rather than digesting the fruit of the Spirit and putting it into practice in our lives. Thus, we all must be aware during the time of bitter waters, of tough circumstances in our lives, our work of faith may just become that, a work, something we have to strive for, something we have to pursue. We may need to have to work on our faith in order to keep our confidence in the Lord. We may have to spend more time on our knees. We may need to have to spend more time in the Word of Truth so that our focus stays in the place that it needs to be focused on. Not so much the circumstances, but in Jehovah Rapha who heals, the God who heals. Can you remember a tough time in your life, an ordeal that you have been through, and how your situations and circumstance may have tempted you to murmur and grumble as you felt you've been forgotten by God and that He has maybe left you out hung you out to dry like the nation of Israel was feeling? I tend to think this may not be an uncommon problem for believers to deal with, because we live in a sin-filled world, and sometimes our faith gets challenged, and so we have to work at our faith. And today seems to be one of those days. The circumstances we find ourselves in as a nation and in this time of pandemic and all of that, this is a time which we need to work on our faith. We need to pursue our faith. We need to aggressively go after our faith and our relationship with God, that we maintain the right perspective. At any rate, Israel's countenance, when they got to the waters of Moriah, they went from one of singing and joyful celebration for God's protective hand at the Red Sea, where they had crossed the Red Sea and it parted and they went through on dry ground. I want to read you what the attitude was of the Israelites as they went through the Red Sea. And this is going to be a lengthy portion of Scripture, but I think it's important for us to understand a principle that I'm trying to make. Is that today's victories do not necessarily provide tomorrow's victory. Faith that we have today, we may stumble and fall in the next day if we don't keep the right perspective. Listen to how the nation of Israel felt about God and the things they said about God after God took them through the Red Sea on dry ground. Listen to the celebration they had, the words that they used in expression to exalting God and thanking God for His goodness. It's found in Exodus 15, 1 through 21. Then Moses and the sons of Israel sang this song to the Lord and said, "I will sing to the Lord, for He is highly exalted." The horse and its writer has been hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will extol him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army has cast into the sea, and the choicest of his officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deep covered them. They went down into the depths like a stone. Your right hand, O God, is majestic in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. And in the greatness of your excellence, you overthrow those who rise up against you. You send forth your burning anger, and it consumes them as chaff. At the blast of your nostrils, the waters were piled up. The flowing water stood up like a heap. The deeps were congealed into the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue. I will overtake. I will divide the spoils. My desire shall be gratified against them. I will draw out my sword. My hand will destroy them. You blew with your wind. The sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you among the gods, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in praise, working wonders? You stretch out your right hand, and the earth swallowed them up. In your loving kindness, you led the people whom you have redeemed. In your strength, you have guided them to your holy habitation. The peoples have heard, they tremble. Anguish has gripped the inhabitants of Philistia. Then the chiefs of Edom were dismayed. The leaders of Moab trembling gripped them. All the inhabitants of Canaan have melted away. Terror and dread fell upon them. By the greatness of your arm, they are motionless as stones. Until your people pass over, O Lord, until the people pass over whom you have purchased, you will bring them and plant them in the mountains of your inheritance. The place, O Lord, which you have made for your dwelling, the sanctuaries, O Lord, which your hands have established, the Lord shall reign forever and ever. For the horse of Pharaoh, the horses of Pharaoh with his chariots and his horsemen went into the sea, and the Lord brought back the waters of the sea on them. But the sons of Israel walked on dry land through the midst of the sea. Miriam, the prophetess, Aaron's sister, took the timbrel in hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dancing. Miriam answered them, "Sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and his rider has hurled into the sea." Oh, wow. What a celebration the nation of Israel had in regard to giving God credit for all that he had done at the Red Sea. You might say this is a Guinness World Record for the world's largest worship party ever in the world's history. A world record for largest worship service ever. I mean, 2 million people. A dance party of joy before the Lord. With all this emotion, how could anybody think that in regard to the nation of Israel, that anything could stand against the faith and confidence that these people had in the Lord? Yeah, ooh. Praise the Lord. And now just a few days later, not a year later, not 6 months later, just a few days later, the nation's soul and spirit turns to bitterness. And they grumble against Moses, saying, "What are we to drink?" Really? Is this the same confident people that we just read about in Exodus 15, 1 through 10, 21? They reacted to the bitter waters of Myra as if God has left them or God has abandoned them. This God who performed these 10 miracles to bring them out of slavery, out of Egypt. This God who parted the Red Sea that they might escape the armies of Pharaoh, that they would not be returned to slavery. Did they really think that this God has now all of a sudden brought them to this place and has abandoned them? What has changed in the situation? What has changed? The national leadership hasn't changed. The only thing that changed were the circumstance and the people's perspective. Church, who's your God in the time of trial, in the time of testing? The God who has demonstrated his faithfulness to you time and time again throughout your life. Places that you can look back and you can say, yep, I saw God working there and I saw God working there. And over here, God worked in my life and he did some pretty marvelous things over here for me. He has sustained me. He has helped me. He has guided me. And now you come to a new trial. Do you forget what God has done for you in the past? And do you think this is a new event that somehow the omniscient God has lost perspective of you and lost sight of you? And that in some way his power has been diminished? But in all those names that we've been studying in terms of who and what God is, the God who provides, the God who sees, the Almighty God, the all-sufficient God, the sustainer God, do we lose perspective of that when we find ourselves against difficulty? As I thought about Israel's walk and journey with God, I considered some of my own life experiences and observations I have made during my years during counseling. During my lifetime, there have been many moments of experiences with God that I've had where you know, you remember those times when you were in a Sunday service and something was said and the worship was beautiful and wow, you just felt so connected to God. Have you ever been to one of those deeper life retreats where you were gathered together with your friends and together as you studied the Word of God and were challenged by a speaker at camp or at some retreat and you felt that sense of God's presence, like you were just wrapped up in His arms and you thought, man, this is the most awesome experience that anybody could ever have with God and I'm having it. I'm having that time of intimacy with the Lord, or that time in personal devotion where you knew what you were reading and the Holy Spirit was bearing witness to your spirit that you knew that was God speaking to you. And because that was God that was speaking to you, there was something that you needed to do in your life. You see, we have those experiences with God, just like the nation of Israel had that experience with God after the parting of the Red Sea in that time of celebration, that spiritual high of exaltation and celebration, acknowledging who God rightly is. But sometimes we can come off those mountaintop experiences, so to speak, and all of a sudden where we felt so spiritually powerful, where we were feeling like David facing Goliath or Daniel in the lion's den. We can go from that experience of faith where we felt so powerful with God that all of a sudden we stub our spiritual toe on some spiritual trial. Or we become lazy in our pursuit of God. We neglect our review of how great God is, and then boom, some bitter water hits our lives and our David-like faith and our Daniel-like trust all of a sudden seems nowhere to be found. The fire of the Lord has been quenched, and I feel like more like a wet noodle in a boiling pot of water when it came to trying to trust God. The result was, rather than remembering the great things God has done for me in the past to bolster my faith in the present, I began to feel sorry for myself. And I began to feel like my bitter waters were just too big for God to handle. I didn't see any hope or for good in my situation. And I grumbled against the Lord as to why He put me there and why He isn't doing something about it and why He isn't doing something about it right now. And I lost my my spiritual perspective of God's sufficiency and provision. However, in this story, Moses shows us a better way of facing bitter waters. He shows us a better way in terms of what happens when we face trials and tribulation. Moses, the leader of Israel, knew exactly what to do in this situation. Turn to the Lord, follow his instruction. Verse 24, so the people grumbled at Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And what did Moses do? He cried out to the Lord. And then the Lord showed Moses a tree. And Moses drew the tree into the waters, and the waters became sweet. Now, on this side of the trial, the waters seem bitter. But have you ever had that experience where the waters seem bitter over here, but then as God has taken you through it and you come out over here, you discover some very marvelous things about God, and God has worked in such a way to make those bitter waters sweet in the end? Call upon the name of the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Obey his commands. Such obedience brought God's power to bear on the situation, and the bitter waters were healed. What started out as a curse turned into a great blessing. Bitter waters made fresh and sweet by God. You know, God has the power to change the character of things. God has the power to change the character of things. What once was made was bitter, God can make sweet by his power. One of the most beautiful passages in the scripture is Revelation 21, 4 through 7. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." And he said, "Write, for these words are faithful and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the springs of water of life without cost." God has made all things new. Yea, God, and lucky me, I say, when I read that passage. I look forward to the day where pandemics are dead and social unrest is eradicated and political ideologies die to the perfect rule of God. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, we pray. And until that day, I pray that we will all feel secure and know the peace of God by sensing his presence in our lives every day, being tranquil in our spirit, in spite of the turmoils and the problems, because we know our God. Question, is your focus on the circumstances of the bitterness of the water? Or is your focus on the God who parts the Red Sea and crushes Pharaoh's army? Church, God has the ability to take the bitter and make it sweet. Colossians 2, 13 through 15. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive again. Alive together with him. Having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt concerning of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Hallelujah, what a Savior. You remember Romans 8:28 about how all things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose? Well, back to Moses. When Moses prayed and followed the direction of the Lord, a marvelous thing happened. The Lord healed the waters of Marah. Then in Exodus 15, 26, God identifies himself to Israel as Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord who heals you. Now notice the point that God is making as Jehovah Rapha. We get focused on the fact that God took the bitter waters and made them fresh and sweet. But notice there is also a greater message in this passage for us. God says, "I am Jehovah Rapha." In other words, I am the Lord, your healer. In other words, He is the healer of the people. To the nation of Israel, God was saying this power of healing is the power, is the provision, the watch care that he gives over leading his people to the promised land. Exodus 15, 25 and 26, therefore he made them a statute and regulation, and there he tested them. And he said, if you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I've put on the Egyptians, for I, the Lord, am your healer. Not just the healer of the waters, but the healer of the people. Just as God healed the impurity and the contamination and the corruption of the bitter water, God also has the power to heal our impurities and our contamination and our corruption of the flesh. God used a tree at Marah to bring healing to the bitter waters, and God used a tree as well to bring healing waters to us. Church, as we prepare to share in communion, I want to remind you of how God has healed the bitter waters of our eternal condemnation and transformed them into the sweet waters of heaven. God says in Galatians 3, 13 and 14, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. John 1, 12 and 13, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. Oh, how refreshing that sweet water is. Even to those who believe in his name, who were not born of the flesh, or by the will of the flesh, but by the will of God. Acts 4, 12, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we can be saved. Again, the fresh water of God. John 14, 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to me but through the Father. 1 Peter 3, 8, for Christ also died for our sins once and for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit. See, you're no longer the bitter water of the flesh. You're made alive in the Spirit. Jehovah Rapha. Titus 3, 4 through 8. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and his love for mankind appear, he saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Do you sense the healing that Jehovah Rapha has brought to us in the New Testament church? That is what we celebrate here today, the Lord who heals us, the Lord who is reconciled our relationship with him, the Lord who has redeemed us, bought us back out of the slavery of sin, the God who has justified us, the God who has made the payment for our sins. Church, God is our Jehovah Rapha. He has taken the bitter waters of sin and death and turned them into the sweet waters of salvation and redemption. We are the children of God. So I think, sing a hallelujah, shout an amen, dance for joy, acknowledge the goodness, the greatness, the awesomeness of our God, Jehovah, holy Jehovah Rapha, the one who hates sin but loves sinners, has brought the healing. He has brought the reconciliation. He has brought the eternal life to people who were dead in their trespasses and sin. Celebrate the Lord, for neither impurity of body or impurity of soul can withstand the healing power of Jehovah Rapha, our Savior. Today we come to the communion service in which we look back at what God has done for us. And today, let's look at this communion service through the lens of Jehovah Rapha, the God who has made the bitter sweet, the God who has made life out of death, the God who has brought to us the sweetness of His presence, that we can trust in Him. Let this be a moment of celebration for the church. Let this be a moment of joy for the church. Let this be a moment of reassurance to each of you as a child of God, that God is in control, and no matter what bitter waters you are standing by, that God has not forgotten you. He will make the provision, and He will care for you. I'm going to invite Pastor Steve to come as we take the communion service. We'll invite you to come and take a cup of juice and from one of the wafers here in the tray, and then be seated. And once you are all seated and back, then we will partake in the communion service together. Let's pray. Lord, we come to You this day thanking You for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the grace and mercy that is ours in His name. And today we pause to think about how the nation of Israel was so terrified standing at the bitter waters, but deep down inside they knew of all Your provisions. And so, Lord, we would ask that we would not be terrified of the things that we might be facing in our lives or in our culture, but deep down inside that we would look back to those things that You've done in the past, and we would see that You are our healer, and You've brought to us eternal life, and You've given to us the Holy Spirit, and You will empower us to walk well with You and to remind us that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We thank You, Father, for Your grace and mercy in our lives, and we celebrate Your name and our salvation here today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please come. of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the night in which he was betrayed, said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In that night, in the same way, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Lord, we want to thank you for, again, your grace and mercy in our lives. None of us deserve the salvation that is ours in the Lord Jesus. But you have given us this free gift, and you made the payment for it. Today, as we leave, we pray that you would help us to walk throughout our community as lights, as people of hope, as people who have drank from the fresh springs of the living water. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please stand, and we'll conclude with our anthem as a church.